Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here it is.
Here we go.
It begins.
It begins. Another brisk walk. Hopefully this will be a bit quicker than last time.
Actually. Morning, Magpie.
Morning,
yes,
Magpie.
It's the episode 2 of Raining Commentary.
Raining Walking Commentary. Shout to the bloke.
Yeah, you just met someone, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a chat with him. No cycling.
Yeah, I just saw this and thought that must be, the cyclists here must feel how we feel when we go to Woodbury Down.
Yeah.
But, sorry, go on. We're at Hampstead Heath, and we were just getting ready by the bike bars and
the bathrooms. Went to the old bogs, which I've redone in the pandemic.
Yes.
And you pointed him out to me on the way in. There's a bloke in there with quite a lot of stuff, quite a lot of gear, and he was having a good old shave. And he's a homeless guy. He's from Turkey, and he'd slept in Kentish Town on a bench, and every morning he goes to those toilets and just shaves and cleans himself up, and he was quite an inspiring character.
Yeah, a lot of self-respect. I mean, he's all set up in there. He literally was so sort of sorted and set. He looked like, if it wasn't for the rucksack, he could have been cleaning the toilets, couldn't he?
He just said how important it was for his mental health. He said he's not on drink. He doesn't do drink or drugs. He's getting a bit of social support, but it can be hard to get sometimes.
Yep.
And every day it's important that he looks clean, doesn't look dishevelled.
Obviously, staying positive.
Yeah, and try. I mean,
blooming against the odds, hey?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine how tough his life is? I mean, look, it's awful today, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
right. You're coming off a night on a bench in Kentish Town.
And any one of us, you know, if you've ever been stuck out, you know, like stuck outside, like literally, you know, waiting for someone or locked out or whatever, at this time of year.
Oh, it's awful.
I mean, half an hour of it, if you don't know where you can get warm, you're like, ooh.
Have you ever slept rough? Like rough?
I after a Cure concert, rough. I slept in Regent's Park once.
Right, yeah.
Does that count?
Well, it's one. It's a
night,
isn't it?
Some German goths. It's quite a long story, actually, but let's keep it simple and say yes.
Yeah. it's a bit of an experience, isn't it? But to have to do it long term is pretty hard work.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you've got to simultaneously respect to that guy and total understanding for people who aren't as sorted as that. You know what I mean?
Because yeah, totally.
That
of course,
that's a strong person you've just met.
Yeah,
there.
Totally. It's just that I need routines for my own mental health.
Yeah.
My goodness, we all do, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. My goodness.
Well, he seemed in better spirits than me, basically.
You've got stand-up, and we've talked about it in the past, about how, you know, if you're like you and I, you think of ourselves as like, you know, one of the funny things I think people listening to the show have is that we're family men. You know,
we
like to be the dad.
Yes.
There's elements of, you know, despite trying to be right on in 2020 and everything, there's elements of patriarch.
Yes.
And sometimes you know, the family will go out. And including, you know, one spouse.
Yes.
And you think, this is going to be fun. And then within, what, about 45 minutes?
Quickly.
You don't know who you are. The sink
totally,
is full of dishes. You've
totally.
Watched four films. You didn't enjoy any of them.
You've
had eight bottles of wine.
Yes.
You know, without a bit of structure, life's conspired out of control. And this is in your own happy home.
Quickly descend, yeah. Uh-huh. So hopefully he'll get back on his feet. I'm sure we'll see him again.
Yeah.
We're out and about in Hampstead Heath. It's lovely. A lot of brolly, lot of people with brollies.
Yeah,
I'm
cycled
not quite
here.
Into running yet.
And I think we're all agreed now, talking, because it's quite nice to have a dialogue with all the other people dealing with injury online, because you've just got to err on the side of caution, haven't you? Literally started running.
Well, just try to.
damn it. Oh, on the side of caution. Oh, no, off you go.
Well, no, I pulled it. I hadn't done anything, and then I pulled it slightly on Sunday. I was late for my appointment with the Lord at 12.
Right.
And I was sort of running.
That's funny, because I thought you said with the law.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same thing.
The Lord waits for no man. And I was, I could just slightly feel it as I ran to that. So that's a bit of a show. He's still there. It's still a weakness. It needs, needs proper
you need
rest
it to,
and recuperation.
To, that's what it needs, is some time to grow back, you know what I mean? So that, grow back, put myself off.
Yeah. It is, though... It is weird when you see young folk really, really hard training and doing long reps and really pushing their bodies, and they're sort of, you think their bodies are in a bit of a different cycle, aren't they?
That's
they're
right.
sort of they're ready. They're, you know, they're breaking down muscles and rebuilding them, and their bodies are on the trajectory. And
it's
it
a different
feels
part
more
of life.
Sort of maintenance, doesn't
it? Yeah. They're like Trigger's broom. They can basically grow a new leg.
Yeah, we're just like,
I mean, I'm not
tottering around.
That's not physiologically sound, but you know what I'm saying to you. No, exactly. Whereas, and that's the other reason why you don't necessarily want to give up. And he goes, looking good. Stop it.
Tottering around.
Even comedy runs seems to hurt it.
Yeah, even running daft hurts me calf. Yeah. Stop running then.
Oh, right. Your kickers are running daft.
Oh, look, is that the...
That's people swimming. In
that's the ponds. That's where my wife goes. She goes to the female...
Yeah, so does mine. I came up here on Friday. See that guy there? He's doing exactly. It's really interesting because he's just in trunks. He's not in a wetsuit or anything.
Gloves. Gloves are important.
You've got to watch the extremities. Yeah, and it's so funny as well because my wife is swimming in the ponds here and with her friend Catherine,
right?
Who listens to the show. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Kath.
And really? I don't know about Kath.
Yeah, Kathy. Come home.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, she's not homeless.
Yeah.
Kathy, come home. You see, sounded like I was being brutal there, but it's really just a cultural ref. Anyway. Julie and Catherine come up to here soon in the pond, and we came up here on Friday, and I ran around, and I took on board what you said last week, and I'm trying to, I needed to finish my 30 miles last week, and now I'm on a taper week this week,
okay.
But I knew that I was needed to ease off as well.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed running around here, taking loads of photos, and I went really slow, and I sought out the hills,
and
took them slow, just a real sort of traily.
Yeah.
And I did it in these walking boots.
All right. Okay.
Which I actually bought. I remembered really belatedly. Gosh, so many different parts of the stories coming out here. Honestly, I'm like a Russian doll. I'm boring myself. Morning, magpies. Look at these guys. Two for joy. What do you think of my boots?
I think they're nice, yeah.
Yeah, I bought them in Sheffield.
They look sturdy.
Summer, I think it's 2017. Basically, I bought them to go to the Lake District so that I could run and walk.
Right.
And then before I got a chance to test that theory, I broke my toe.
Right.
And then, funny enough, when I first had them, one of them was absolutely filthy and the other one was... box fresh, because when I first wore them on holiday, that one was in like a big soft shoe and a carrier bag.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, so I suddenly remembered that was the idea, and I ran in them, and it was all right.
Nice.
It was quite nice how it's a new journey for me, because I know people have different shoes for different cirques.
Yeah.
And they're no good on this. Do you know what I mean? It was
attempting
me off the tarmac
no.
onto the mud.
Yeah.
But knowing I'd be all right on the mud. Basically, not much support in the heel, but really good for going through the mud and good support all over. And I'll run in them again, but only if it's trail running, slow.
Yeah, that's nice. Sort of walky, rambly, long strengthening runs.
Kind of like a jamble, you know.
Jambling.
Oh, I said it in a minute.
Jambling, rambling. Unfortunately, my calf injury has coincided with my stint as a feedback merchant for the new trainers, of which I can't talk about.
Oh yeah, I see that you're wearing the.
I'm wearing them,
but
they look
really nice. I love the
and I amazing see that the, cushioning and the
people.
I tell you what, the thing is about these. The main thing about them is that I'm not testing them at all, like I promised I would do. I was like, 35, 40 miles a week, range of, miles did you do this week?
Do you know
12.
Anyone, do you know anyone you could hand that job off to?
It's a size thing, that's the thing. These are, for some reason, they could only do 8.8 and halves.
Oh, God, you couldn't. I retract that offer.
I heard that, did someone give you some trainers?
There's a possibility. You realise that a friend of the show giving me some secondhand Vaporflies isn't the same as your constant flow of free shoes.
No, but that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real... That's great, isn't it? Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and I want
incredible
to...
Incredible reach,
I tried to make a counter-offer, but no one wants my old muddy shoes I didn't like. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
You know what Stevie would say? Just accept the generosity of the universe. A stranger's reached out with some Zoom flies.
The universe has got something for you. Don't slap the universe in the face.
Slap someone else in the face. They're not your vapor flies. Don't accept them.
Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, Gwen, you've got them on. You won't be going fast enough.
Yeah.
Faster.
So I came here on Friday.
Yes.
A stupendous jamble. Yeah. Around the... Sorry, keep going on about birds. That's a jay there in the air. On your left.
Nice.
There it goes, all pinky. And... my wife and Catherine went for a swim.
Yeah.
And they had a great time. But it's so funny because it's like that change of seasons. You know, what's it going to be like? And people, the conversation now between the wild swimmers is, so what temperature was it in there? And they both said that there's a point where you just sort of know. You're like, yep, time to get out. And both of them at different times afterwards went through like a shuddering minute of hypothermia.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all having coffee, and Jasmine said, yeah, I was cold when we got changed. What about you? And Julia's like, I'll be okay in a second. We were just saying, more birds. Look at those cormorants. They look evil. It's like an analogy. I've been thinking about this a lot. The whole kind of this year thing and all the stuff about new normal, unprecedented, is, shall we?
Yeah.
Is that we're all like the frog in the boiling water, you know? Gradual change.
Yes. Yeah,
because that basically you can trace in my family wild swimming from like really hot days down at the Lido to really nice days in the sea to not particularly nice days in the sea.
Yeah.
October.
Brilliant. It's so good for it. So good for you, though, isn't it? It seems like that might be one of the best things to do.
Yeah.
Swim in cold water, sort of, if you can handle it.
That's the other thing.
It seems like very, very healthy. Crazy healthy.
I think it's that funny thing. It's like swimming and people... It is swimming. It's like running. You know when people say they hate running and we're like... And you sort of can't say... You can't say you don't understand why people hate running.
Yeah.
But equally, sometimes it's a bit too... You know, you're supposed to somehow enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about... there's something zen about it, about trying to do these things that could potentially be masochistic, but in an open and clear-eyed way where you can feel the joy in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because they are extreme. They are sort of self-testing. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do the swimming.
Wild swimming's got that sort of bracing, shocking quality, hasn't it, of the temperature, that sort of systemic kind of, don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's a...
And it reminds you that when we talk about that with running, the joy of finishing a run.
Yeah.
Like you said, that's one of the best things about running the marathon is when you've done it.
Yes.
And and people have that at every distance. You know, this is why, you know, talking about catch to 5K, I think that from you just don't want to come out of that thinking, oh, and I never have to run again. Sort of misstep that can happen.
Yes.
Because there's a joy in it, and the victory is there, of course, as well.
Yeah.
And the harder it is, the more victory you feel. So it's a real balancing act.
Yeah.
But I'm always reminded of Vassos.
I often think of Vassos.
I think of Vassos every day.
Whenever I chomp a bit of malt loaf, I think of Vassos. When do you think of Vassos?
Well, when he told us that when he ran 100 miles, he felt this kind of glow, this kind of
bubble,
spiritual
in a little bubble.
Bubble for weeks.
Yes.
And just you could see it in his eyes, you know. It was like someone who'd been to the top of the mountain, you know.
Yes.
And
deep peace.
And this is something. And he broke himself on that run.
Yeah, the mystic
physically
has returned.
What a challenge.
He can walk for a couple of weeks.
When the universe offers you a gift.
So are you going to take the vapor flies then?
Well, if they come round, I mean, when it comes down to it, they're probably slightly too small for me.
Right.
But I offered a brace
of
2019 New Balance London Marathon shoes.
Right.
In return.
Oh, yeah.
So we're on a kind of...
You're on a kind of barter.
Freebie barter at the moment.
Right, nice. I did a couple of gigs at the weekend.
Real life comedy gigs in real life?
Yeah, real life, yeah. I went to two gigs on the same night. I went to Top Secret.
Shh.
Which is a...
Is that where you've got your trainers?
Which is a... Yeah. Which is a comedy club in the middle of London.
Sorry, I've stopped. Cause
and it was a really... dystopian sort of weird experience for at least quite
small.
Is this
the first one you've done in weeks?
Yeah, first one I've done in months. Yeah, first gig I've done in 8 months. And it was just loads of screens everywhere, bit weird. And also you're starting off with a bit of new stuff as well because you feel like you've got to chat about what's been happening. So it was fine, but it was just hard work and a bit weird and not many in and sort of a bit odd.
And underneath it, did you get a glow? Did you enjoy being on stage and being in the show?
If by glow you mean an overwhelming feeling of futility, then yes.
I
got that quite markedly, a feeling of...
It's obviously futile.
What am I doing? But there's a classic sting in the tail because I went from there to do a gig at the Forum.
Sting!
I'm in your tail.
You don't have to put on the red light.
Every breath you take, you can feel me in your tail. Sting and Steve Cram. And not don't Sarah Millican. This is not our impression of Sarah Millican. Shamelessly shown onto Steve Cram that we've been doing because we would never do that to a fellow professional. I went to the gig of the Forum with Eddie Izzard.
Ah, yeah.
He was headlining. It's his gig, his people. 600 people in. In a room,
Town and Country Club in Kentish Town.
Yeah, in a room made for like 2,000, socially distant. Just a really nice gig. I mean, just really, and it's amazing what a good gig you can have, even if you haven't done it for 8 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I just really,
I really spanked it. Do you know what I mean? I really got in the middle of it and just spanked it hard.
I think I'd rather you'd express that in a slightly less terrifying way.
It was wonderful to feel the laughter.
The weird thing is that you really enjoyed the futility statement and you really ruined the joy statement.
But it's that stand-up in a little nutshell, isn't it? Just wildly contrasting gigs on the same evening.
Yeah, although the one's got to work as a warm-up for the other.
Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah, it gets you in the groove, and then you're in between gigs looking at the new stuff you did first, thinking, how can I phrase it better? And then you phrase it better, and then you have a really, really nice gig.
Yeah, and also, I think that we need, you know, we're really lucky, and I say we because I've got a comparable story. We're so lucky to have those kind of dream gigs. You know, I mean, that one at the Forum sounds like a dream gig.
It was lovely, really.
And that means you can do, not that Top Secret isn't great, but, you know, Top Secret is a bread and butter gig, right? So you need the dream gigs.
I wanted to say butter.
To justify the dry stale bread.
I would
gigs.
Say bread. I would say, oh, hey up, dog off. We've got a dog. We've got a dog off. God. Truman's
television.
Truman, we've got a dog off.
Giant. Yeah, I think the best way, if your dog is about to misbehave and you know that it's about to misbehave, is to stand a good 30, 40 feet away and
doing
bray
nothing.
About it with a chuckle.
Doing
in
nothing.
Voice.
So, yeah, we've got no control and he's very dangerous.
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare for you.
Call the police. And it was also Izzard's crowd as well, which means they're going to be nice people.
Let's go this way.
Yeah, which means they're going to be nice, doesn't
it? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So you kind of, you tailor
well,
your...
Well, what's interesting as well, if you're someone like Izzard,
accordingly.
Of course. Well, I don't know about you.
Should we cut off a little bit, just because we're walking? We're not running, are we? So it'll take a bit longer.
I just wanted to show you where I went the other day.
All right.
this way, though. Yeah. Just want to go up the hill. Eddie Izzard. He, you know, I, when I'm
what
thinking about doing gigs...
What a lovely fella.
I didn't quite meet him once. He was at one of my gigs, and he knew the compere. He didn't know me, and I'd had a cracking set, and I was really hoping I'd get the opportunity, because he wasn't on. He was just in the crowd.
Right.
And I was really hoping that I'd get the opportunity for Eddie to say... Good set.
Good set.
Equivalent, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, like
that.
Set,
that's
Rob.
All the syllabically, that's all I was after.
Yeah.
But the third guy, the compere, was someone who knew him of old. They used to do street theatre together.
Oh, God.
And he was like, and then I had to go.
Do you remember when we used to? No. You remember when we used to? How would a street performer?
You remember when we used to put our act down at Covent Garden and the crowds would come?
Street performer, not a street walker.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be on my unicycle juggling dwarves.
Crow attacking buzzard. Oh, a talking buzzard!
Is that a buzzard?
Yeah, it looks like an eagle here. That was enormous. Did you see it?
I had a circling us. That's not a good sign, is it? I know my calf's bad, but it's not that bad.
I know you've got big eyes. Just pull those eyelids slightly close together because that looks tempting. They're looking delicious. Yeah. Limpid blue, delicious, pooly snacks.
We no, Izzard was.
But the thing I was going to say about him before my little rubbish story is that we might think, oh, we're not very match fit because we're not doing like circuit gigs four times a week. But if you're that famous, then that's the rhythm you have to get into. You do your big gigs, or you do maybe a few warm-up gigs.
Yeah, no, you're
right. You know, or Michael McIntyre has this. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Basically, if you're out there, you're out there in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Or you're not out there. There's no other mode.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was chatting to him, and he'd been doing gigs in Bexhill outdoors in the summer. He was quite impressive, really. He's a real... He's obviously one of those people who just needs to perform.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just gigging and seemed... He was sort of... He was being a normal...
At the Delawar Pavilion, I want to say.
Probably was, yeah. Probably was. I mean, he was a... He was just a normal stand-up asking about the crowd and what they were like. And, you know, it's just... Yeah, it was a... Interesting character. Who doesn't at all... Known for running whilst not liking it.
Yeah, yeah, total. We know
just
that,
doesn't like
we?
It.
The running was just pure stubbornness. It's just fantastic. I'm just going to do that. Not because I want to, not because it's natural for my body, not because it's my hobby.
No.
I'm just going to bloom and do
doing
it.
Doing 41 marathons back-to-back.
Yeah.
Incredible achievement. But yeah, I met him once backstage at a gig and I talked about how much I love running. He went, "You love running? I hate it." I was like, "Oh, okay." Sort of contradicts your public. Good luck with it.
So who else was on at that gig?
It was just circuit acts and Izzard. It was Delisa Chiponda was on comparing, a girl called Catherine Bohart on first. I was closing the first half.
Catherine Bohart quite well.
She was good fun.
Yeah,
And then Sean McLaughlin was on third, and then Mr. Izzard.
This time I was on, you know how Facebook reminds you of things.
Yeah.
I did my little Scandinavian tour with Sean McLaughlin and Joel Dommett and Harriet Kemsley a few years ago this week.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, good times.
Good memories. Picture of us in Iceland. You look like a band. But then in us looking like a band, I do look like the one who's been drafted in.
Right.
Because I was
Dommett looks like the lead vocalist.
Oh, absolutely.
Presumably.
Yeah. He's the rock star, and I was definitely the drummer. And McLaughlin is the you know, the sulky one in the best way.
He's a good old comic, isn't he?
Yeah, he's great. He's funny. He's got a real take. Brilliant. He's got if you can pull it off, you got to, because it's such a balancing act, isn't it? You see lots of people try and fail, and when people get it right, it's very misleading. The negative take.
Yes.
You know,
if
you can be Jack D or Sean McLaughlin or who's the other, Ian Moore.
Yes.
You know, because you've got
sort of grouchy.
Yeah, and there's still got to be love. The audience has got to know that there's joy and that you love the world.
A charming grouchiness. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to get that all across without going, "Oh, I love everyone."
Yeah. No, he does it really well. What a lovely day! Lots of dogs happening. So yeah, no running for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That was pretty rubbish.
So you tried,
isn't it?
You ran.
Pretty rubbish.
Last Tuesday we went up the Parkland Walk in the rain.
Yeah, we went for what then? Then didn't really do anything. And then I ran to the Lord on Sunday, got slightly reopened the injury, but not really. I was just sort of scuttling along. And that's it.
Scuttling's funny because you mean scuttling like a spider, but I thought of scuttling as in putting a hole in the boat so it sinks in the bottom of the ocean.
No.
You kind of did a mixture
of both. It's been wet, but not that wet. And how about you? What have you been up to with the old?
Yeah, well, like you say, you, the other day you really drew to my attention the fact that I didn't really take any time off after the virtual marathon.
Yeah.
And but simultaneously, I didn't really want to
let it all.
I couldn't just stop. I'd feel too guilty, and I've got systems, you know. And I'd been doing my 30-mile weeks. So I thought, I'll take it easy. And also, I was trying to get to my run with my wife, because we run every week and we hadn't got round to it.
Yeah.
So in the end, we did this nice thing on the Friday where I ran around here and she went for a swim.
Yeah.
And that left me at 29 miles.
Right.
So I thought I'd split the difference.
That's hard to resist, isn't it?
Exactly. And you'd said, oh, you're doing your mileage, you're doing speed work. And I was like, okay, so in a way, if I run a mile, I'm taking time off because I'm not running 3 miles.
Yeah.
And even a hard, fast mile, I'm taking some time off afterwards so I'll be able to recover, you know.
Yeah.
So I went to Clissold Park.
Yeah.
And ran around it once, which is like 1.1.
Yeah, 1.1,
As fast as I could.
Good for you.
Yeah, and it was an interesting one.
So which way you sorry, this is getting a bit Clissold niche. Mm-hmm. But which way round did you run?
We should talk about Clissold Park. Clissold Park. Clissold Park ain't got no windows. Clissold Park ain't got no floors. Clissold Park was initially laid out in the 19th century. Clissold Park is nice.
It is
it's
nice.
It's funny
yeah.
how a couple of friends of the show were like, "Oh, I didn't realise it looked like that," because they hadn't seen the pictures and don't know the area, and basically thought we'd repeatedly gone to a kind of patch, like a wreck, like a square patch of green.
No, it's a nice park, but there's one way round where you go down on the sort of wood chip on your left, isn't it, and veer round by the...
Yeah, I started that. I did that. I started at the corner on Green Lanes.
Right,
yeah. And then did the...
Started with a downhill.
No, I started across the top. I went on the wood chips and also thought it'd be sort of... There's a good sort of runner's path there, which isn't too muddy. I thought I could kind of warm up on. And then you've got to go past where all the people are and the bottleneck on the bridge.
Right.
And then down the far side, across by the lakes, but not through the woods, because that is too muddy.
Yeah.
And then finishing back up the hill, so with a bit of a...
Right.
Got to do the hill at the end kind of thing. And I'd never seen... I'd never seen this before the other day. Look at this. It's the kitchen garden. You ever seen that before?
No, I've never seen that, no.
Oh, let's go in the kitchen garden.
Oh, my word. Balloon house garden.
Maybe some radishes.
One of Hampstead's best kisses.
Oh, I think my dog's going to bite you on the neck. I'm so sorry.
He's a little bit dangerous. He seems to have your child by the throat. So sorry. He won't last long. Is he bleeding out? I'm so, so sorry. Come on, Truman.
Truman's television.
So sorry. Swinging by around.
Yeah, so I did the top high half of the park, round the bottom one, and then back up the other side.
Seen that, mate? Seen that? Got to be admired. Completely walked past the sign saying no dogs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe you can't read.
We seem to have someone ignoring the signs regarding dogs in the house gardens.
Maybe something was unclear about those.
He's now been notified and with a thumbs up to the attendant official has returned to a safe space, haven't I? The dog seems to have half a house in its mouth, over.
See
that massive piece of wood in the dog's mouth?
Can I have my flat back?
Look, someone doing exercise. Look at the foot of the tree there. That's nice.
Very good, very good.
This to is a be nice, encouraged.
Particularly good scene with the leaves here, sort of half on, half off. A couple of the trees have been denuded of their leaves.
Yes.
So the rest of them, plenty of leaves on them, but still gold. And it's
absolutely glorious, yeah.
And then the city over there on the left looking about as sci-fi as it possibly can. It's mizzling rain, but all those pointy buildings of from the Shard to the
That's splendid.
And the thing.
It is a splendid morning.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
But we are not running. We will
We're
again.
We're not running yet. We will again. Hopefully this time next week.
Get a picture of those. My camera won't take a picture of those shoes. That's because they're made by... So...
Pixelated.
Yes, I ran around Clissold Park as fast as I could.
Yeah, and how did that... How did it feel? Hard work. It's hard work when you run a mile as fast as you can.
Yeah, it felt good. I liked the commitment of it. It made me want to get on the track, I have to say.
Yes.
Because I felt, you know, you don't want to make excuses, but I was just well aware of the non...
You're going to be a lot slower.
Scientific conditions, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So diving, avoiding people, up and down hills, muddy bits.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're counting seconds,
yes.
That if you change the plan a little bit, then you're losing seconds, you know?
And,
what I mean?
And also finishing on an uphill and all that, you kind of, there's a lot going on there. If I was doing that, I'd probably start with the downhill. And then come along the top at the end, just have that flat finish. But it's like
you gain
the downhill the other side. It's
there's a swings downhill and uphill somewhere, and I just thought that if I was basically gambling on my commitment,
right?
You know, that by the time I got to hill at the end, I'd be feeling bullish.
Yes,
and there was that worked. I don't think I particularly dropped pace there. Anyway, it was 6.5 minutes. The mile was.
Yeah, that's
the
great.
Whole thing was,
that's good. That's really
not
good.
The 1.1.
No, but that's really good for zipping around Clissold
Park. I'm accessing some pace for sure. So if these free vaporflies arrive at my doorstep,
you'll probably beat 4 minutes.
The only way I could go a mile in 4 minutes is if I found a mile long staircase,
fell down
and slid down the banister.
Seen that?
Slid down the banister.
Seen that? Like it? Seen that? Mum remonstrating with a child.
Yeah.
She's ruining the walk.
Yeah, sitting forward.
By sitting in a pushchair, not doing anything. Ruining it. Ruining the walk.
Look at this now. More gorgeousness. We're looking down across the landscape bit in front of Kenwood House. In fact, I took so many pictures the other day when I was here, but I didn't take any here because there were loads of people. So yeah. I was just trying to get through without disturbing anyone. But then up here ahead, you see that the avenue of trees?
I see the avenue of trees.
There's people sitting down for, I don't know, I think it was like a club, because they were all sitting down together to do pictures. And I went round behind them to see how they were getting on. And none of them had started.
Right.
Just had a blank canvases. I was like, well, this is no blooming good. Can't see anything at all. Look at that, though. I like that Sam West, the actor.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good guy.
Is he? What's he been good guying about?
Oh, he's being right on online. And he's good at acting, and he likes to go for a walk and see some birds. And
right,
I thought of him then, because that's where he leant against the fence with Julia Roberts in Notting Hill.
Great movie. Great movie. I tried to watch Borat, couldn't watch it.
Couldn't watch it?
No, I thought the first one was great, but it just seemed really slow and weird and tired. And
I have to say, really, I just think your film tolerance levels are a bit of an all-time low.
Yeah, but I'm walking out of Tenet. Stop watching Borat.
You hate it. You really turned against that horror film you thought you were going to like.
Saint Maud was no good.
Aunt Maud was no good.
Yeah, it's weird.
I've got an Auntie Maud. I love that. I called it Aunt.
Yeah, Aunt Maud.
Yeah, Auntie Maud came round. She was boring.
Aunt Maud came round.
No action.
She wasn't as scary as you'd expect.
She was a bit deaf.
I'm currently reworking my way through Downsize, which is a film I really like. Alexander Payne with Matt Damon.
Yep.
I really like that movie. I find myself returning to films I really like again and again.
Oh yeah,
as we do.
Oh yeah, well this is a film correlation with what you're saying about young people's bodies springing back to health. We don't need to see new films.
Yeah, we can
just watch
the
old films again
and try and remember them. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that I've trained my children up to be kind of cineasts and prepared to watch classic films from about film history.
No, it is great.
That's to be sniffed at.
No, it's really good.
That means that I can say, and today.
Yeah, no, that's really
Citizen
good.
Citizen Kane. I've been having a Sam Raimi season.
Right.
I did a Blu-ray commentary on his sort of semi-lost classic Crime Wave.
Right.
Which is brilliantly. Insanely, it's kind of rubbish, but in a beautiful way.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's really compelling, but it's like a mad shouting cartoon.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's sort of the next film we made after Evil Dead. And they said, oh, make the film you want to make. And he was like, ah! And the studio was like,
always
stop,
dangerous.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't. We didn't mean that.
And so that film's insane.
Always
and then because
danger.
It was a failure, he made Evil Dead 2, which is kind of also insane, but in a slightly more controlled way and really good. And then he made Darkman. Have you ever seen Darkman?
Haven't seen Darkman, no.
It's basically the year after Batman, Tim Burton's Batman, other films like that got commissioned. And Sam Raimi didn't have the rights to any of the comic book characters, so he made one up. But it's totally the same. It's just operatic. It's got Liam Neeson as this guy who loses everything. And it's all about he's got no face and he's got to make a face. His face only lasts for 99 minutes. Loads
that's
of scenes
tough,
of
that
of
is people, a tough scenario, isn't
going,
it?
Whoa, whoa, and his face starting to bubble. It's stupendous.
I've lost my face!
Oh,
what are you all about? I've lost my face!
My face melted.
Have a look downstairs. I think I saw it downstairs. Who's got my face?
So then when you look at films, like if you say, you know, if you looked at the Quick and the Dead or Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
The Tobey Maguire ones. And you watch them now, you'd be like, oh, that's quite full on and comic strippy. But what's great is the way Sam Raimi was coming from the other end. You know what I mean? His first few films were so like... like someone just chewing up a comic and spitting it out, going that when you finally get to The Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone, Russell Crowe, and Gene Hackman,
yeah,
he's just the epitome of control.
Yes, yeah,
I love
that
film. Quick and the Dead is a great counterpoint. See, you double bill, and I'll shut up about films in a second. But you want to watch the Gene Hackman baddie western double bill, the cartoon one, The Quick and the Dead,
yeah,
and the heartfelt revisionist one. Unforgiven.
Unforgiven's a great film, isn't it?
Yeah, superb.
This is beautiful. I'm consistently surprised by how gorgeous Hampstead is.
It's wonderful.
I am missing running, though, I must say. I feel a bit slobby, just generally slobby and a bit kind of sick.
Yeah.
Not sick, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not ill. I just feel a bit sort of
Oh, you haven't got the fuel in the tank.
I just feel a bit. I feel a bit reduced by it. Like my system's not working on full.
I really believe that when we run regularly, and when I say we, I don't just mean me and you. Those of us who run.
Yeah.
That you basically
the huffers and the puffers.
You train your body up to be ticking over at a slightly higher level.
It's just more efficient, isn't it?
I think that's the line. Yeah. Years ago, we talked about it. I remember meeting a guy on a train. And he said, I like to run 3 times a week, but I only run twice a week. And I think that's fundamentally not as good.
No, it's nowhere near as good.
And he liked it and he loved his running. He just didn't have time to do the three.
Yeah,
and
you're
he
really
told
missing
me,
out.
And he wasn't, and I was, you know, at that time I was getting more running done than him, but I was just less clued up about it.
Did you throw him off?
Stranger.
Did you throw him off the train?
And so I threw him off the train.
He needs to learn.
Get
on! Run back! He needs to learn. No, twice a week's brilliant, of course, but 3 times is a bit of a tipping point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tipping point.
You just feel it.
If your life means you only run on the weekend, then that's great.
Go for it. Enjoy yourself.
No, go for it.
Slob! No.
You're talking to yourself now,
Do
Paul.
Whatever you want
get
to
out
do.
There.
Do whatever you want
but,
to do.
Yeah, if you can do it, basically what we're saying is you want to get your body to the point where it thinks it might have to run.
Yes.
And I think that has other benefits on, like you say, on your health.
Yeah.
Because it just keeps everything ticking over a bit
faster.
Yeah,
it does. You're just feeling your metabolism. I feel my metabolism operating at a bit of a lazy level. I don't know, I just feel... I'm not particularly overeating, but I'm definitely putting on weight.
The same amount of food will not get burnt up as effectively.
Yeah, I'm trying to go for a couple of walks today, but it's nowhere near the same.
No.
Just get that sweat on.
At Woodbury Down. So many people up there having a lovely time.
Yeah. In the peace and tranquility.
Stamping around, playing loud music.
Yeah, playing their accordion, not disrupting the wildlife.
Oh, no huffers and puffers here.
No runners. It's a shame that I don't even take it on now. I don't even go anywhere near it now. Yeah. It's a shame.
You don't even like to think that it exists.
So
you went for a walk, beep, beep. Censorship down.
They're cutting us off.
See that because it sounds like a Watership Down?
They're cutting us off, aren't they?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
So you've just been ticking over. You've been ticking over.
Well, but this week I'm going to half that and do half rations.
Right.
So, but I think if I just run 12 miles in the week, then I might try for a nippy 5K on Saturday morning.
Right. Have a little jaunt to the track.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It might surprise you, you know.
Yeah.
It might very well surprise you.
Well, particularly
you.
If I'm in Vaporflies.
Yeah. That'd be great. But it would be good to find out the balancing act
of Vaporflies that don't fit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going so fast. Oh, God.
I have Vaporflies.
Stop. It's be like the red shoes.
Is, they're really massive. They're like clown shoes.
You ran into me, Dad.
Yeah. Clown Vaporflies.
So, yeah, bracing. I've got to take it easy and do that and then get back on it. And I think in the long game, I'm planning on... I was trying to remind myself of that in my 30 mile a week thing, it's good to take a tape week every kind of 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, then after that, when I get to the next tape week, I'm probably up again to a 50-mile week and a 20-mile run this side of Christmas.
Yeah.
Just to finish the year in the same style, you know.
Finish strong.
There was an article in the paper today about people. It's quite nice to see because it's a bit of a, what's the word, cultural trope, a bit of a cliche that everyone's become unfit this year.
Yes.
And I think some people haven't, and it's nice to see what other people have
done. Don't know whether that's... I was quite surprised by some of that chat, because I just assumed that people got a lot of people got a little bit fitter, actually, or at least sort of valued it.
Yeah, well, I think ultimately, you know, both, hey, people did different things.
Yeah, but I think...
It's a good father and son, right, wasn't it?
In terms of people coming, I think surely more people have come to running this year than previous
years.
Yeah,
well, we know from, you know, certainly people are coming to running commentary.
Thank you.
And you are all very welcome.
Yes.
And Kath's back. Anyone who hasn't been on the Twitter but has been listening, Kath, who was just getting back into the running and then got coughed on and given COVID by an idiot at work.
Awful bloke. It's the flu. You're all right.
It's man flu. No, it isn't, you silly idiot. Anyway, she went for a run. She's
back
recovering,
in
but she's running.
That's
so
good. That is good.
That's great news.
Yes, that is good.
And also, Phil, I should mention Chris Day Carey, who went for a 5K run,
yeah,
got back at exactly 5,000 metres, and at that exact moment, the podcast finished.
Perfect.
I mean, it's just
perfect moment of running commentary.
When your marketing people talk about synergy,
yes,
you know, they're talking about sort of brand marketing, putting things together. They're not talking about when you throw a tea bag over your shoulder and it goes into the mug. Now, these are the moments
in life. If we could bottle what happened to Chris that day,
yeah,
we'd be millionaires, wouldn't we? We wouldn't be walking in Hampstead in the rain, would we?
Well, I mean...
We'd be on a yacht somewhere, smoking cigars, drinking fine wine.
Is what millionaires do.
Is it? All right.
In the rain. Oh, yeah. Sorry!
I'm so dreadfully sorry!
Dog eating your leg.
Both my dogs seem to have attacked you at the same moment. what's that on the floor? I think, is that your spleen on the floor? I'm so sorry. Please take it with you. We're trying to keep the park tidy. Thank you. I was going to say, and also condolences to Martin Hutchinson as well.
Yes.
Bless him. I know we mention him every week, but this week he had a loss, and God bless him, and good luck with that.
Yeah,
good
and luck with that, it's just always... It's just always tough, isn't it?
Yeah, there's stuff going on. Stuff going on while all this is going on as well.
Yeah.
Are you going to do any gigs then or what? Now that it's really weird that since I broke the back of the concept, I've got gigs. There's a lot of weekends between now and Christmas where I do have gigs. And
same thing. I had a kind of nudge.
It felt okay.
For me, it's a toe in the water. I want to see what it's like, and I've enjoyed doing other things. But just more philosophically and psychologically, it's been a really interesting week. Because like your lovely gig with Eddie Izzard.
Yes.
One of the gigs I got offered was a little... Just me at the Mild May.
Yes.
So it's like
a one-man show,
like Brilliant. A tour date, very friendly venue.
Yes.
And it's like a foot from my house. You know, it's the kind of luxurious gigs it's nice to be offered.
Do you feel a bit of pressure with that as well? Is there a bit of pressure incumbent with that?
Well, yeah.
Because people know you'll come and see you, and do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. But I don't. I always think that that's the idea that people you know are coming and stuff is disastrous. The comedy should be for strangers, but I always just write that off and think, well, I'll just pretend they're strangers.
Yes,
you know what I mean. You have to play it as a pro.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But and also the fun thing about it is. I played the Mild May Club. See, I had that sort of textbook final weekend of comedy in March. Like, as it locked down and everyone was going, should we really be at these gigs?
Yes, yeah. This won't happen for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a lot of that going on.
I was at the Comedy Store all weekend.
Nice.
And I did the Mild May as a double. So it's like I'd be walking back onto the stage that's like one of the last stages I walked off, you know?
Nice
little
circle.
Which is a fun little circle. But also... means I can't do those jokes.
Yes. So you have to do
which is
stuff.
A really good discipline.
Yeah, it's a good discipline.
Because I don't want to anyway. I mean, I really, very selfishly, I just want this whole thing to be an opportunity to move forward.
The grand reset, as well as globally, also for the comics.
But I sat down with it and sort of had a look at where I was at and what my new joke ideas were and what I might say and everything. And it was a really inspiring session.
Good.
I mean,
good.
And obviously the first go round, so I thought, no, that's it. I've got a show. I've just written an hour and a half show. And the next time I look at it, I'll be going, there is nothing here.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, it was nice to go to it that first time. And I realised that I was working on that I was working on new material for Edinburgh
yeah.
when lockdown came, which I almost willfully forgot.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been casting my mind back to club sets last autumn and not thinking about how in the alternative 2020, I was also trying to move forward and do different things in my life, you know.
And one's always jotting notes down as well during all this stuff, isn't it? And you're the old, do you know what I mean? You're always accumulating ideas, so.
And I've already got some great jokes. Did you see, I don't know if you saw online, why do Brexiteers like autumn? Because they voted Leaves.
There we go. We're off.
That's, I mean, come on.
That's the opener. Is that the opener? It's one
God
of them, isn't it? Sort of.
Good God.
It's around the middle, isn't it? It's a middler. It's a strong middler.
It's an Evera.
It's a strong middler when the,
I mean, it's
as you reach for the
one
beer.
With the social distancing, because, you know, while some people are desperate to get back to normal, I'm merely paranoid. I mean, I still, you know, I very much wear a mask when I'm shopping, even online.
Yeah.
There you go. That was another one I came up with yesterday. I'm pleased with that. But it was really, that's what I'm saying, never mind the comedy. Comedy's great, and like you were saying about Top Secret, that's not the only gig. I've got some others, you know.
Yeah.
It just, like you say, a few trickles over the dam.
Hey, mate.
You start to consider it, you know?
Yes, yeah. It's,
mine are always, travel is an issue, because I haven't got a car. And
Yes.
And trying to follow even the slightly incomprehensible guidelines. I'm hoping to see my... Mum again as soon as possible, and she's like high risk, and she's in tier one, and I'm in tier two, you know, all this kind of shenanigans. Anyway, it felt nice, and it was just so interesting to suddenly I just realised that I kind of cut myself off, you know, the pre-lockdown me.
Yes.
I just totally left him behind in a really healthy way.
Yeah, you know.
And found loads of good stuff. And at this point, you know, as you say, it's been, what's the word, fermented with an O.
Yeah.
By, you know, the autumn, coming back to comedy and where the world's at. But also, it's just timing. And suddenly, I kind of turned around and kind of re-engaged with myself.
As a creative, as a
just
stance,
where I was
as a comedic.
Before all this.
Yes, yeah.
And,
yeah.
I, you know, literally there was a notebook which I hadn't really finished that I just shut and never looked back. And when I started working on things, new and interesting things in lockdown, I started a new notebook.
Yeah.
And yesterday I found in this last few pages of the notebook, it's like ideas for what I was going to be doing with my time, which are totally relevant to what I actually have done.
Yeah.
New ideas for jokes that I'd forgotten I'd even made up. And just generally a sense of realizing who I was and who that wasn't actually, that there was, it was still me.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you kind of had to cut yourself off from, well, stand-ups did, didn't you, from what they'd been, because you couldn't do any.
Yeah.
You couldn't do any. So in order to sort of survive and not be really messed up by it, you had to kind of just lock it away a little bit, didn't you? Just get on with stuff.
And when it comes down to it, this time last year, and this is all kinds of things, but this time last year I was miserable.
Yes, yeah, it's important to remember that.
Before all of that, and really unhappy, and that was complicated because I was cracking on, doing good stuff. It was obviously affected by my dad dying, but it wasn't just about that.
Yeah.
And having some really good gigs, but that was totally related to it because I was kind of just spinning off the wheel, you know. But it's such a complicated feeling to smash a comedy club, Morning Magpie, and then literally walk away going, oh, I hate my life. You know what I mean? That's a really weird journey to be on. And so to have something that cut me off from that was really welcome.
Yeah, yeah. It's some of the gigs are starting to come back, and we don't know how long it's going to last. So but that, in a way, that kind of makes the gigs that you do less pressured because there's no industry anymore.
I would also say that
there's a weird feeling about it. It's weird.
Well, that's it. In the world, like, I was talking about reinvention in kind of April and May.
Yeah.
But in the world, this is a great time for reinvention because there's no one who isn't.
Yeah.
Whatever you reinvent, even if you reinvent exactly what you were doing before, you're still on the same page as everyone else.
Yes, yeah. There's
it's just a blank slate for the world. And but conversely, I think me and you, having the luxury of not having to, you know, we didn't jump in when comedy came back into existence.
Yeah, we didn't want to do car parks, did we?
We didn't do any car parks.
No. There was a line in the sand.
Yeah.
We said, no, I am not doing car parks.
Yeah. It was actually a hard white line with a yellow hashing behind it.
I'm not going to tell jokes to cars and wait for them to honk or flash their lights to show pleasure.
Yeah.
And I stand by that decision. Do you know what I mean? I'm okay with that.
Well, that was it. Talking about me not being able to travel when I got offered. The first drive-in I got offered was, you remember, we talked about it on one trip around Hackney Marshes. I got offered like a really low money, shonky one.
Yeah.
And a really nice one. I thought, even a nice one I don't want to do, let alone.
Yeah.
But the one I was really considering, because it was a generous offer and all this kind of stuff, it's like, I can't go and do a drive-through gig and go to it by train.
Yes, yeah.
Go and do a driving gig and I haven't even got a car myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Walking away at the end like the littlest hobo. Yeah. Or the Incredible Hulk.
It's nice to be in front of crowds. And half of the people at the forum had masks, half didn't. There was table service with drinks. It wasn't back normal, but the laughs were big. So, yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, one of the guys I directed last year, Richard Stott, is doing a theatre show and recording it for Next Up.
Right.
So I'm going to go and it's the show I directed, so I'm going to go and see that.
Nice.
And that'll be that's a different angle on the whole deal.
Yeah.
Partly because it's someone else's show and everything, but also he is he's a youngster living in South London who's just... I had a drink with him the other day, and his experience of this year, it's just nothing like mine at all.
Well, talk to me about it.
Well, just obviously, whether distance or not, just people just getting on with things. Like, as soon as things reopen or things are going on, they're doing them.
Yes. Yeah.
He's, moved house. He's been doing gigs, doing online gigs, doing non-online gigs.
Yes.
And up and down to his family in Yorkshire. And just beyond that, just a different sense of what life in London in 2020 is like.
Well, people have been... everyone's reacting in different ways, but there is a resilience as well, isn't there? People are, the comedy industry has kept going.
Well, I think there's quite a lot. I don't think there's resilience.
People are still getting made.
I don't even know how big that number is.
Yeah.
That joke didn't work. You carry on.
But there's, I think there's, it's been ongoing, hasn't it? People have tried to, you go into town in Soho and people are still out. People, like, Ra went out the weekend to a pub because it had a fire pit. Do you know what I mean? People are just changing the parameters of what an evening out is.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. No, and I did that when I saw Richard. I went to a pub on the south bank of the Thames, and we sat outside it.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, I took myself by surprise. I had an unplanned daytime drink.
Yeah.
And, I drank a couple of pints of lager and thought, now it's late afternoon and I'm a bit drunk.
That's the way to go, isn't it?
I thought, I haven't done that for years. It was fantastic.
It's great, mate.
Have you been drinking? You been drinking, Paul?
Have I been drinking? I didn't drink yesterday.
You clash with these trees. It's a shame because they're so beautiful, and yet you've got that red top on in front of them. I did start spreading singing in the rain, but not running because you hurt it.
No, I ended up getting embroiled in a two-bottle Friday after the gigs.
You realise if you put two bottles in front of all different days in the week. It was two bottles. No, wait, two bottle Friday. Was it two bottle Wednesday?
No, it was a two bottle Friday. Got involved. All got a bit murky. But the second bottle was a 12.5%, which kind of saved me a little bit.
This is the percentage of the wine conversation.
Well, no, it makes a huge difference. I normally like to try. Having a bottle and a half, I'll start with a half, will be like 14.5.
Yeah.
Just real heavy, solid, so you're drunk by the time you get into the second one. Then I'll come down to about 13, by which time you're thinking, might as well have another. Do you know what I mean? And then I go 12.5. I like to bring it down and down. So by the end, I'm just eating grapes in the garden.
Yeah, there's almost no logic to this plan at all.
The logic is the more drunk you get, the less... potent the drink. And most people do go the other way, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I heard an advert.
In many ways, that's an inspirational little
Here's an interesting thing. Talking about adverts. And we were really dissing it, but then gradually sort of tuning into it. This time of year, you know, it's an old cliche. It gets earlier every year.
Yeah.
And the Christmas adverts will always come on. But actually, if you look at it, normally the early Christmas adverts are selling things that take a while, like sofas and dining tables.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're aspirational, what you're going to be doing at Christmas.
Yeah.
This Christmas, they totally just lent in. And I think it's all governed by that hardy few who are just basically have had Christmas all year,
yes,
as a way of accessing joy.
Yes.
So
yeah,
you know, I bought a bottle of red wine the other day and it said, perfect with turkey.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? It's October the 20th. And they keep saying things like that, you know.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
And then we were really dissing it and then just gradually sort of getting into it. I bought my, I was trying to find a vegan pizza for my daughter, and the only one they had was a vegan Christmas feast. She's like, no, I just want a cheese and tomato. Pretend cheese, obviously.
It does.
The vegan Christmas feast was a fresh one, and it went out of date before the end of October.
Crazy.
So who's that for?
Who's that for? Who's celebrating Christmas now?
I know!
But it does annoy me when politicians talk about whether or not we'll be able to celebrate Christmas or not. Or I just think you have to leave people a bit of hope, you know. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if it comes to it and we can't, of course, that's fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Don't tell people now.
No,
do you
I
know
agree.
What I mean?
It's not the content, like you say, it's the nature of the
yes.
conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it's the opposite with the government. And I think, like you say, give people hope, keep it positive. And what they're doing instead is finding ways to blame. Now,
yeah,
finding
yeah.
ways for it to be our problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? You know, it's like these adverts that are... They are basically adverts of Brexit. They mean, get used to it, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
but what
yeah.
they say is, it's going to affect your business. I don't know how, but look it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I saw Deborah Meaden saying, well, I've got loads of businesses, and I've been to your website, and I don't know what's on it. So what are you talking about?
But the problem is, if you tell people in October that Christmas isn't going to happen, half of them will think, do you know what, I'm just going to do what I want anyway.
Of course. It's like I was saying the other day, they've got places where people aren't adhering to rules, so they're changing the rules. The only thing more pointless than having rules people don't adhere to is changing rules people don't adhere to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're Schrodinger's rules.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter whether this cat is alive or dead if no one's feeding it. Wait
of
a minute,
course.
That didn't make sense.
But,
you know,
but also, the other half just get really depressed.
This is nice, isn't it? This is happy.
This is really nice, yeah.
This muddy...
This makes me miss cross-country.
Oh, God. That is some muddy
stuff. Miss the races.
It's funny, because this is the most... I've been here on Christmas Eve and on sunny days. I've never seen it quite so bleak, frankly. But it's still not that bleak, is it?
There's a sort of... I've actually quite enjoyed the bracing weather coming in. There's been something, I don't know, there's something nice about it.
It's timely.
Are we going to risk it?
I think we should go straight down.
You think
just
so?
For,
yeah. Just for safety's sake.
Yeah.
It looks pretty trepidatious.
I don't want to fall over in this mud.
I think because something about this, it's yeah. easy to feel that you're in this sort of timeless year, but despite the fact. Stuff has been happening, even if it's just the seasons. Do you know? Do
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Sort right.
of something has been happening beyond all this.
Oh,
and
I know exactly
part of that
I'm
is
saying.
The season, the changing of the seasons.
What you're saying is, and it seems crass, but it's really worth noting at this stage, life goes on.
To everything, turn, 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 there is a season. Turn, and a time for it. Do you remember that? Everybody fell.
Remember
Truman!
Oh, no, forget it.
Put the woman down! No, there is, it's true. It's like, you just sort of...
Yep.
Christmas will come, and we'll celebrate it in our own way, with or without our loved ones, hopefully with.
You
and
do
we'll
over a
it.
Million miles, yeah. and you can do a million more.
And
life
will be,
opportunity.
And kids will still run down...
Yeah, I noticed these two guys running up a hill between the autumnal trees. It's pretty gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Despite...
People having babies.
Despite it all, yeah. life goes on.
Yep. John, life finds a way.
Finds a way. We have found. We are finding ways.
Yeah. And you'll be running again.
I'm running up that road.
I'm talking to any of you.
I'm running up that hill.
No problem.
Let me
only could
deal with you.
Do you know that song's supposed to be called Deal with God? But they changed that so that they didn't offend America.
How bizarre.
Which is why it's weird that when I did the running songs feature for Six Music, I'm saying, how about running up the hill? It's like, so little to do with running.
Yes.
I mean, yes, Sisyphus might say that's a good running song. But anyway.
I heard a song that I hadn't heard for ages yesterday in the car. And it was that one where the girl meets a guy at the park and says, "Hi, I find you... I found you very attractive. Would you go to bed with me?" Such a simple... How does it get, how does it start? I've already forgotten how it starts.
I've noticed you around.
I've noticed you around.
I find you, very attractive.
Very attractive. Would you go to bed with me? It's such a great tune.
I would bet you £1 million that that song was written by a man. Yeah, that woman on that record does not exist.
I don't know about
that. I've noticed you around.
I don't know about
that. I find you very attractive.
It sounds, I read it as a song of female empowerment.
Yeah.
I liked it.
You read it wrong.
It's just a great tune. Great.
Also
tune.
Reminds me of the Double Act Chambers and Nettleton, who used to...
Did they do a little...
They featured it heavily in their set.
Yeah.
When you said the woman in the park, I like the way you put her in a park as well. You put her in a park in your describing of the song.
Oh,
so yeah. There was this woman in the park.
In a park, yeah.
She came up to me with a trumpet. Yeah. She said,
"I noticed you're around limping in those shoes that look pretty rubbish, to be honest."
Yeah, these are. Yeah.
You're carrying an umbrella. You look like you've recently had a hernia operation. You look 51 and you washed up. Well, you got a bed with me. Well, I'll have to see what can be done. The car runs out at 11:30, so.
So. I was in the supermarket in my mask.
Seem to be creating some kind of.
I've noticed you around.
Some kind of fictional park hookup scenario.
I've noticed you next to the food from goods.
Yeah.
I also gluten intolerant.
I noticed you putting on weight recently.
I find that very attractive.
Your metabolism running at a low rate. You better me. Oh God.
You know, when you described the song, I thought you were describing, "Oh, mushrooms. God, they come from everywhere at this time of year."
Mushrooms. Ah, mate, let's go looking for mushrooms. Let's gobble up some magic mushrooms and then do a podcast. Be a right laugh.
I've noticed you rummaging around in the woods.
I've noticed you eating mushrooms in the soil. Your face
looking
is all...
Looking at your own hands.
Your face is all muddy.
I thought it was going to be Louise by the Human League. Now that's a song.
How does that go?
As he saw her getting off the bus, it seemed to wipe away the years.
Yeah, that's a great tune, isn't it?
I said, "Hello, Louise, remember me." We haven't got the rights, so I'm not going to sing anymore.
So many songs haven't got the rights to.
Don't worry about it, Steve.
Luckily, we are currently so far under the radar that shouldn't be a problem.
As the podcast becomes more successful,
yes.
Luckily,
you have been contacted by various recording companies. You owe them £75,000, regardless of whether you go to bed with her, you seem to have not able to afford a bed.
Get in touch with the estates of the Human League, whoever that woman was who noticed you around, and George Formby.
Kate Bush's lawyers in contact. Over.
That is so, they're so all over that. PRS will be all over that.
I know.
Please don't tell anyone. Sorry, to this. Please don't tell
anyone. We're on about 500 episodes now. It's been fun. And I take the idea of a lawyer sitting down
trawling
with
through. Oh, God,
oh,
here they go.
God, I think that was D-Light.
Which one have they butchered this week?
Just did a joke about Rush.
There we go. Coming to the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it half as much as we enjoyed it, then it's twice as much as we enjoyed you.
More of that great maths. I enjoyed the first 14% and then 12.5% of the rest of it. No running, no cycling.
No cycling.
But we're still talking, going, because life...
Life goes
John,
on.
Life
underneath all this, life goes on. The seasons. The seasons proceed.
Me, you, and the no cycling. And the heath behind us. Where is he? Running up that road.
We're running up that hill.
Right, change the tune.
No,
we're running up that road. We're running up that hill.
We're running down the avenue.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row?
Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.